Welcome to the One Question Podcast, brought to you by Wabi Sabi Studios. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, and I love having unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. It's a huge passion of mine, so much so that I wrote a few books a while back that challenge people's notion on living a life more unconventionally. This entire podcast stems around one question. If there was one topic you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
The most greatest transformative moments often are so small that they are not noticeable until you look back and you're like, wow, all of these individual steps actually create this masterpiece.
Jana Lucas is a passionate motivational speaker, youth life coach, and co-founder and CEO at Hapao, a life skills education provider on a mission to future-proof the lives of young people in high school and beyond. Featuring 50 plus hours of life lessons, which are life skills courses, and 100 plus power talks, kind of like mini motivational videos, their gamified e-learning life skills platform gives youth access to on-demand insights, tips, and strategies from Australia's top experts around money, health, wellness, career, and relationships. Jana is incredibly passionate about transforming the lives of young people. One reason for this is because she herself had to work through immense adversity, especially around her childhood, where she had chronic and debilitating anxiety disorder for many, many years. Jana's mission is to empower the next generation so they feel more supported, motivated, and equipped with the tools they need to recognize their unique potential and to pursue their goals with passion, purpose, and conviction. She's an interesting person doing amazing things. Let's meet the gorgeous Jana Lucas. Jana Lucas, it is fabulous to have you on the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Gorgeous to sit down with you today. Let's kick in. If there is one thing that you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
The remarkable power of small steps.
Oh, I like that. Tell me more.
So I really have been able to witness in my own life and also the line of work that I do with supporting young people that sometimes the most greatest transformative moments often take place when you least expect it and often are so small that they are not noticeable until you look back on your life and you reflect on the journey you've had, whether it be over a 5 or 10 year period, and you're like, wow, all of these individual steps actually create this masterpiece, and you don't often see the masterpiece until that chapter is closed. And I feel like society today, because it's so fast moving and with social media, everything is turned over so much faster. We don't give ourselves enough time to recognize those small micro moments that can be so incredible in the long run.
Oh, it's so such a beautiful topic, and I completely concur with you. And I think that, you know, there's that saying where you can only join the dots, you know, when you're looking back, I guess, and going, oh, that led to that, led to this, led to that, and that chance meeting or that tiny little thing that I did to the step in my future direction, not realizing that actually now I'm doing a completely different thing. So it's fabulous. How have you found this? How did you sort of find that this is a thing that happens? You do coaching, I know, and you work with a lot of people. Yeah, why is this something that you've sort of found is truly remarkable for people?
I think it stems back to, firstly, my own journey and some of the lessons I had to learn for myself, the hard ones and the not so hard ones. I was a young person who really struggled, for example, to go to school. I had a chronic and debilitating anxiety disorder. I struggled to go to the shops without feeling incredibly nauseous. And I had this for around 6 years. I had to work with a clinical psychologist over this period of time. And I still remember, though it was many, many years ago, I still can recall today some of those moments where I would sit down in his office at the hospital and he would ask me some questions and I had to reflect on my day. And when I was going through that season, I remember some days felt very long and exhausting, and sometimes months felt like years, particularly being the age that I was, mostly in primary school. And when I looked back on my life and how I was able to understand and learn more about my mental health and recognize how far I'd come and being kind to myself and being able to not let my anxiety take hold of my life, learn to work with it, I was able to create like almost like a map of my journey, kind of like what you were referring to, and was able to put the dots together and go, wow, because I was able to say yes to particular opportunities that seemed small at the time, they ended up being huge because it opened up an opportunity for me to learn something about myself that I didn't recognize. And I think one of the key moments was as an 8-year-old, and I saw there was a talent show at my local shopping center, and I always wanted to be able to perform and sing. Of course, I was, you know, struggled with that with my mental health, but that's what I desired to do. And I got to the stage and wasn't able to perform the way I wanted and wasn't able to sing, but I still decided to show up and mime My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion because I knew every line of the song. And because of what I did and how I acted out the song like a mime artist, I realized, aha, life sometimes doesn't work out the way you think it will, but it's the way that we show up and we take a step forward. That action we take can actually be an incredible, incredible thing and can change the world around us and our potential future. And so as I went through life and into my adulthood, I thought, okay, say yes to this opportunity if you feel in your gut you need to, because you never know what the next opportunity will look like. And I think for all of us, the pandemic was a great example of a time where everything slowed down. We weren't able to work at an incredibly fast pace that we're so used to. And I think out of that experience, we had to spend more time in self-reflection, whether we wanted to or not. I went through a lot. My family went through a lot, particularly like so many did during that season. Job losses. I lost my sister-in-law unexpectedly during that time at a young age. And a lot happened and there was a lot of lessons to be learned there. But again, I recognized that through the small steps we took and reflecting on how far we had come, it's made me so much stronger. And I think there's a power in us recognizing how incredible small steps can be, because society tells us that there's no time to reflect on that. Keep moving to the next thing. And only in reflection, only in hindsight do we get to do that. But if we as people can reflect and practice gratitude and recognize our journey, I think it will lead us to great things.
Mm. You talked then about having, you know, debilitating anxiety. And then, you know, fast forward to years down the track, you ended up going on a show, singing and stuff like that. Can you tell me more about that? How did you overcome that? Because like to get from, you know, debilitating anxiety to then being like in a recording studio and having an agent is like a massive leap. What were the steps in between?
Oh, there were many steps. Yeah, there were definitely many steps. I think the first one was recognizing that I had to be kind to myself and that a leap may not be possible in my world, that a little toe in the water is good enough and then eventually you could then pour yourself into the sea. I think I also had to recognize that things take time and that it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay if things don't turn out the way I'd want them to be. So when I was going into grade 6 and year 7 and whatnot, I envisaged the life I wanted to have for myself. And I recognized that in order for me to do that, I needed to have self-belief. And that even though my past may have looked a particular way and things may not have gone to plan, I realized that there were still ways for me to believe that if I could envisage a life for myself and dream about me being on stage or dream about me using my voice for social good, then it was possible. Kind of like, well, Disney says, if you can dream it, you can do it. And so I just thought, you know what? I feel it so deeply in my core, in my spirit, that this is what I'm meant to be doing, that I just have to find ways to get through it. So again, I would set up little challenges for myself and say, okay, if I can do this, then great, fantastic. Then I'll set another little challenge for myself. And I would, put myself out there, put my hand up to do speaking opportunities at school and things like that and build my confidence. So when I was 14, I auditioned for a recording contract to be in Australia's youngest all-girl pop group called Charms. and with a Z, and it was basically a real life adaption from the movie The Barbie Diaries that came out. So it was a collaboration between Mattel and Barbie, Shock Records and Nickelodeon. And that was a huge opportunity. And the younger version of me would have always dreamed that I could do that. And because I never gave up and because I put one foot in front of the other and kept doing that even at a young age and had to practice self-reflection from really the age of 7, I was learning how to do that. It enabled me to, as I said, believe in myself and got into that band. And, you know, one of the key moments was actually probably one of the most simplest ones that we had in the band in terms of the opportunities, which was when we performed on stage for the very first time at a shopping centre called Chadstone here in Melbourne. And it was the biggest in the Southern Hemisphere, the shopping centre. And I remember they called our name up on stage. And for the first time ever in my entire life, I didn't have nausea. I had butterflies. I remember looking up to the ceiling, imagining I was seeing the sky above me and just giving such thanks, because that moment when my name was called and I literally stepped down on stage was one of the most transformative moments of my life. And it really confirmed that I wanted to continue to use my voice for social good, to positively influence the lives of those around me, and particularly people like me that suffered so much with their mental health.
Mm. And so fast forward then, so amazing story of how you kind of overcame that to get to, you know, become then quite a famous, you know, singer. It's quite incredible, really, and being on stage for a living and then using your voice for social good. Then you started an organisation. How many years ago now was it, how it started?
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, my husband and I both lost our jobs and we started up a business we always dreamed about, which is a PAL.
Yeah, amazing. So tell us more about that, you know, why you started that and what you do and how you help younger people today, because it's quite an incredible business.
Thank you. I think coming back to that line, using my voice for social good, was pretty much the mantra of everything I've done. And I studied a Bachelor of Journalism at university and was working in radio as well at the time. And, you know, with anyone with a platform these days, and so many more people do with, you know, social media, we can choose to use our voice to do good or choose to use our voice to create havoc. It's a choice each of us get to make, and I'm very lucky that the people I surround myself with are beautiful humans doing great things. And so I thought to myself, young people particularly are more influenced because of their brain development and they're going through a lot of different life stages, and there's a lot of unsavory things that they can witness without them even realizing with socials. And I thought, well, I'd love to be able to create a platform that uplifts, that teaches key life skills that these days the school system doesn't have capacity with the very robust curriculum it has. It's quite full. And there are certain skills I feel, and what I've observed in the years I've been working with young people, that we're lacking, so that I guess there was causing a bit of a barrier for them to believe in themselves and be able to think about a potential job they would like to achieve one day. And particularly since the pandemic, you can just look at the data now and see that school refusal or school can't is becoming more of an issue. Young people not being able to engage socially like they used to, all those sorts of things. And so I thought, well, if we could create a platform that supports them with, you know, entrepreneurship, career opportunities, money management, relationship building, and then it's a safe, cool space that they can go to and learn, they're going to be more inclined to learn a bit more about themselves, engage in this classroom, think about their future in a really positive, healthy way, and help them, as our slogan is, power up life. And we never had this. I never had this as a kid growing up. So I wanted to create the thing that I wish I had, and at least create it so that the next generation of young people can have access to these resources.
So how does it work, Jana? Is it through schools, or can people, like if someone's listening and they've got a child that they think might be interested in this, do they just log on, find your, you know, website at herpower.com.au, I think, is it?
Yeah, herpower.com.
You sort of navigate that themselves, or is it you also work with schools, I believe, through the program as well?
Yeah. So an individual can sign up. So we have some homeschoolers, for example, that are on our platform that use our resources, but we do work with schools and organisations. So basically wherever people gather, that's where we try to be and cover off every base that we can. So we work with charities as well as government. And it's really, really great because You know, I find as well, particularly with the young people we work with remote and regional communities too, particularly because they don't have access to incredible people at the drop of their hat being in a non-urban area. Because for us, for example, our mission is to future-proof the lives of young people. And our vision, our big vision, is not just to support Australian youth, but also around the world. So our big vision is by 2030 to entertain and empower and educate 10 million young people through our education and media network. So for us, we see that, you know, there's such a change coming and already is here in the education space, and also the desires of what young people need in this fast changing world, which how we spoke about how the world is moving so quickly, right? So if we can play our part and be able to support youth, that, you know, we'll continue to do that. So yeah, herpower.com is where you can learn more about us.
So out of all the work you do, what do you believe is having the most impact? Like, where are you seeing the significant difference with kids?
What a question. I love it. For me, look, I always love being on the ground working with youth. And I think what's great about our platform is it can be accessed anywhere and anytime because it's a gamified e-learning life skills platform. So, you know, we have young people, I can see because we get notifications, they might be accessing Herpower late at night, first thing in the morning, and seeing some of our power talks, which are our mini motivational videos, or starting a course around, you know, starting a business with impact or learning how to budget. But for me, I have to say, when I'm in front of a group of young people and I get to share my story and my heart, strategies I've learned along the way, hear their stories, because every young person, every adult, every one of us has an amazing story, a transformative story. We've all gone through stuff. I love seeing the connections that are formed between different young people I work with, especially those that don't know much about each other, and starting to see the veil come off and their true selves come forward as they share vulnerably without fear, knowing that it's a safe space. For me to create that is one of the most remarkable things. And I'll give you one example. I was in Western Sydney October last year, and I was in a room of 300-ish young people from a number of different schools in the region. And I was putting together a Power Up Life workshop series. So I was with them for 4 hours and a big room, like to run a workshop of that magnitude. Like, speaking is different, I think, when you're running a presentation, but it's probably the biggest crowd I've run a workshop with. And it was so much electricity in the room. It was amazing. And I remember this one girl, she wrote down a goal that she wanted to achieve as part of the workshop, and it was for her to be able to be confident to speak up in front of her classmates. And I went around the room and I just felt drawn to this girl. And I walked up to her and I saw the piece of paper, and I was going around and asking people to share. And I looked at her and she looked at me, and obviously I had a microphone in my hand, and I saw her eyes, and I said, and I pulled the microphone away at this point because I obviously didn't want her to feel intimidated. And I said, "Would you like to share what your goal is?" And she looked at me and she nodded. And I said, "Do you want to hold the microphone?" So she grabbed the microphone from me and she spoke into the mic. And she wasn't loud. She was very gentle and calmly spoken. And I said, "Well, do you want to read it?" And she says, "Yes, I want to feel confident in being able to use my voice." And I said to her, "Well, you should be so proud because you've just done that right now in front of 300 people." And it was this realization that she had in that moment. Sorry, I'm starting to get a little bit emotional. Sorry. This moment with this girl where I saw a light turn on and I could feel her finally recognizing that she can do the things that she probably felt she couldn't because of a limiting belief. And what was even more beautiful was the entire auditorium applauded her. And I just felt so privileged to be there, to see that moment for that young person. Like, coming back to the topic of today, the power of small steps, that is one of the greatest examples I could give today, showing how this girl being able just to hold the microphone and say one sentence, saying her goal, could be the start of something amazing as she continues to put one foot in front of the other.
Well, I hope you're going to, you know, keep an eye on her and see where she heads, because maybe one day she'll become a famous keynote speaker, and you instigated that, which would be really cool. If anyone's listening, just to kind of bring it full circle, as you say, and they're thinking, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, what's a small step I could take today? How can people start if they've got a big goal or something that intimidates them? Or, you know, I have a little funny, the old Nike, you know, tick here on my desk. And that's the whole premise of, you know, just to remind me that just do it, because I'm a classic procrastinator and a lot of people don't know that about me, but I'll come up with lots of different ways because I'm an A type and I like things to be perfect and I like things to be just so. And so until everything's in the right place and whatever, then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that until this, this and this. And I've had to learn that actually just by starting, it all sort of starts to fall in place, but you need that momentum, has been my experience. And so I have the tick to remind me, just do it. Just get on with it. It's going to work out okay. It doesn't have to be perfect, and it's probably better that it's not, because you can iterate as you go through. But I'm curious on your view of how people, you know, how you encourage people to start small and to really just get it happening, I guess, so that they can, you know, get that momentum.
I think one of the most key activities a person can do, whether they've been exposed to practicing gratitude or not, is writing down a list of moments in life where they've achieved something that they're really proud of, small or big. Again, the limiting belief comes in when we try to think about a goal we want to achieve and go, I can't, or I'm not able to do that, whatever reason. And once we list the things that we have been able to do, we're reminding ourselves of how strong we actually are and how capable we are and the potential that we have. And so often when I talk to people, I say, just write a list. And I said, it doesn't have to be 10 things. It could be one or two things. And then I often say, okay, what about that moment are you most proud of? What did you do in that moment to be able to achieve that thing? So they'll often say, it's because I have an ability to do X. And I said, okay, well, whatever that thing is, how can you use that skill or that passion to ignite the fire for you to do this thing that you want to achieve? And then in terms of the goal itself, so I've had on my heart to write a young adult fantasy series for many years. And in 2023, so last year, at the start of the year, I started officially writing my book. And life got in the way. I wrote 8,000 words and I stopped. And I kept writing notes and things and just fixing up the story of where I wanted the series to go. And I left it. And I felt a sense of guilt because I was like, hang on, I really want this goal. I really want to achieve finishing this story. And so this year I made a commitment to myself and I said, you know what? You didn't do this last year. This year you will. So every day I want you to write something. And I thought, should I say how many words or should I say how many pages? And I thought, no, Janna, I want you to be kind to yourself. I just want you just to turn up to the laptop and just see how it goes and just write. And I've been writing pretty much every single day since the start of the year. And as of today, I've written well over 30,000 words.
Amazing.
So, thank you. So I have still a fair way to go, but I've written, you know, 80 pages.
Because what do you want to get to? Like 60,000 words or something? Is that a book?
Maybe about 130,000. So I've got a bit of a fair way to go. But what I'm doing for myself is instead of me being overwhelmed by how many more words, because I'm thinking, oh goodness, there's so many more to write. What I'm saying to myself is, look how far you've come. So I'm like, wow, I've written 30,000 words. And so for me, just seeing the journey, seeing the steps, breaking every sort of section down into something that's manageable makes me realize that I can do it. Because if I look at, I've still got to write, for example, say, you know, 80, 90,000 words, I'm going to go, that's just too much, too overwhelming. So by me just breaking it down, no pun intended, chapter by chapter, enables me to have the confidence to keep going. And so I use that same sort of principle with young people I work with, is using the SMART goals action plan, implementing, you know, a resource review. So, for example, looking at the people around you that can support you to achieving your goal, because one of the biggest things for me is accountability. And if I know in my case that if someone or a series of people who I trust know about my goal and I update them on my journey, it propels me to keep going because it almost re-energizes me. So I encourage people to do that, even just one person that they can rely on as being a key thing. And also as well to set checkpoints, because again, often we reward ourselves at the end once we've achieved it and not recognize those smaller steps that we're taking along the way.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
That's wonderful. Great examples and some beautiful, real, you know, tactical things that we can all go away and think of. Jana, you're doing some fabulous work and it's been lovely to sit down with you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Michelle. I loved it.
Well, there you have it. Wasn't that an incredible conversation? I hope you enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. If you did like it, can I ask a small favour? Please rate and review on your listening platform for me. I know everyone asks this, but it seriously makes a difference to help get these conversations out in the world and makes all the hard work and effort I put into this for you all the more worthwhile. And until next time, if you have one question you'd like to ask me, hit me up on my socials or jump on my website, michellejcox.com.